Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. This is Erica, the creator of Bring Your Own Kombucha, which, as you know, is both a podcast and a blog. This week has kind of been a whirlwind for me because I celebrated my 1 year of blogging, which I coined as Blogiversary, and you've probably seen from my Instagram. I've been doing over 20 plus giveaways just as a way to give back to everyone who's been supporting my blog along the way. I really, really, really appreciate that you would take the time to follow my journey of just becoming a healthier person. And I wanted to note something about Blogiversary, because when I started my blog a year ago, the intent of the blog was just to be an example of somebody who isn't a fitness instructor. I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not a naturopathic doctor. I'm not a yoga instructor. I'm just a regular person working a 9-to-5 job whose goal is just to live the healthiest life I could possibly be. And if you're like me, you know that's not easy sitting at a desk every single day, 9-to-5. It's not easy when you wake up in the morning and you have to go sit in an hour of traffic and, you know, you don't get to have that work from home lifestyle when you can fit in a quick workout between meetings or, you know, however that work from home lifestyle is, or, you know, being a stay-at-home mom. And I'm not saying that's an easy life. I'm just saying that, you know, when you're on a strict schedule, working 9-to-5, adding a commute in, and then just, you know, taking care of the day-to-day necessities, it's definitely hard. And my goal was just to show everyone that, like, you can make healthy switches to a better lifestyle, whether that be in the non-toxic sense or just eating healthier and fitting in those workouts, regardless of your occupation, right? You don't have to sit in the gym for 3 hours every day or be a Pilates instructor and, you know, be working on your fitness all day. It's possible. So that's really my goal of Bring Your Own Kombucha. And I hope that, you know, that has really reflected through my blog and my Instagram and, of course, the podcast now. So today's guest is Sarah Ordo. And Sarah and I connected over Instagram because I saw that she published her first book called Sober as Fuck. And her book, you know, really it encompasses her journey of being an alcoholic and recovering from that. She had, you know, gone to college and gotten a degree in early childhood education, and she's a makeup artist, and if you've seen her pictures, her makeup is amazing. I really wish that she wasn't located in Detroit and she was, you know, down the Jersey Shore so I could get my makeup done by her. But anyways, she describes her journey as, you know, she was the typical party girl. She was drinking since she was about 13 years old. And she was blacking out every single weekend regularly. And basically, she just spent over a decade of her life, you know, taking shots, using recreational drugs, having little self-worth, and covering it up with her perfect hair and makeup. And she just wanted to give off that image that she was living this fun, glamorous, perfect lifestyle. And then in May of 2015, she drank so much that she actually landed herself in the emergency room. And it took this experience of, you know, the doctors telling her, you know, you shouldn't have lived, to finally awaken her soul and realize that she needed to go to therapy and rebuild her life from the ground up. And her story is so inspiring. And the reason I wanted her on the podcast is because I feel like we are all affected by, whether it's alcoholism or recreational drug use, either directly or indirectly. And I even know from my days in college, you know, I would definitely drink too much and party too much. And I look back now and I'm like, I could have been so much more productive in those years. I mean, I graduated college with, you know, good grades, and I went on to law school, and I graduated law school, and I, you know, was able to pass the bar and create a lifestyle that I wanted. But had I not been so focused on, like, partying and things like that, maybe I would have, you know, found my journey podcasting and writing and my soul's work, or what I feel like my soul's worth, a little bit earlier. Or I just feel like what Sarah went through really can resonate with everyone. So, you know, after this experience and this journey of recovering, she published her first book called Sober as Fuck. And then she published her second book most recently, Inner Bloom. And she actually just published two additional books that correlate with the first two. The first one is Sober as Fuck, the workbook. And the second is Inner Bloom, the workbook. And she just launched her own podcast. Sorry, guys. I'm so excited. It's called Her Best Fucking Life. And it's amazing. Really, she's so relatable and so positive, and it's really a pleasure following her journey. So I think you all are really going to love her story. You know, we talk about how she works her way through parties when she doesn't drink, and how she still struggles with, you know, being surrounded by a bunch of drunk people at parties and weddings and vacations and things like that. So I think we can all learn a little bit from Sarah. And before we jump in, I want to talk about today's episode, which is sponsored by Blooming Lotus Jewelry. It's an intentional brand of handmade jewels created to support your soul grow, prosper, and blossom. Each piece of jewelry is lovingly handcrafted and filled with purpose and meaning. So Blooming Lotus Jewelry was actually founded in 2010 by Jennifer Serralo, who I want to point out literally has a heart of gold. She actually participated in Blogiversary this week and donated a mini mantra band necklace, which has already been given out, but it's adorable. I love it. I actually have a similar mantra coin necklace that I absolutely love. But 5% of all the sales from Blooming Lotus Jewelry are donated to support the Kid for Cancer organization. And in addition to support the Kid, Blooming Lotus also supports Autism Society of America and the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. And then during October, a portion of the breast cancer awareness bracelet sales go towards the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. I don't know about you, but I really love supporting brands that not only are small shop, but they're small shop and they're giving back. You know, running a small shop is not an easy thing. Being an entrepreneur is definitely a very difficult endeavor. So for somebody who is a small shop and is giving back, big kudos to them. Blooming Lotus Jewelry has an extensive line of jewelry, including mollusk necklaces, including variations for men, mantra bar and mantra coin necklaces, gemstone bracelets, intention cuffs, crystal necklaces, just to name a few. What I really love about her jewelry is that each piece of jewelry is made with intention. So you can search for jewelry by its purpose. For example, she has pieces such as her carnelian stone bracelets that were made with the intention of bringing about abundance. There are other stones that manifest success. Others hold intentions for love or creativity, balance, serenity, and the like. So there really is a piece of jewelry for whatever sort of intention that you're looking to put out into the universe. If you want to purchase your own Blooming Lotus Jewelry, head it over to bloominglotusjewelry.com, and you can actually find the link in my show notes and also on my Instagram. And as always, thank you for supporting the BYOK podcast sponsors. And without further ado, let's jump right into Sarah's episode. welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast.
Hello, thank you for having me today.
Of course, I'm so excited to have you on. Okay, so would you mind just giving us a brief background about yourself?
Yeah, basically, this was not the original plan I chose for myself in life. I actually started out, I went to school to be a preschool teacher, and I've done a lot of things. I've dabbled in the beauty industry a bit. I have my own small company or small business. We do hair and makeup in the Detroit area. And then most people, I feel like on social media, know me either from YouTube or from my self-published books, which kind of all came to be, YouTube's like a fusion, I guess. I still do a lot of beauty on there, but I've kind of tied the whole sobriety bit into it. But yeah, all of my self-published books have become because of my sobriety. So that's kind of gotten me where I am today. But I've always been an entrepreneur. I've always liked to kind of do my own thing, leave my own mark. So everything's just kind of tied together naturally like that.
I love that. And honestly, I loved your book, Sober as Fuck. It was so inspiring and so raw and just so authentic and genuine. It was nice to just really hear it from your voice and your point of view, as opposed to, I don't know, just people who just kind of like color everything beautiful. Like, no, like this is actually what happened. This is my journey, and I'm not afraid to share it because you know that it has helped so many people so far. So do you want to kind of give us the premise of your book, Sober as Fuck?
Yeah, absolutely. And I totally agree with what you were saying. I just wanted to say real quick about how it gave it like a real approach, because I feel like, especially on social media, so many people, you know, post only like perfect things and happy things in their life, when in reality, there's a lot of things that aren't pretty. So Sober as Fuck, I definitely wanted to give a raw, honest account of how I got sober and how it went for me, because I share a lot now that I'm like doing so well and everything's going great and I'm writing these books and starting this podcast and, you know, people are saying that I'm doing so well, but I want people to know that like there was a very dark time, there was a struggle, it wasn't always easy. And I kind of wanted to give other people support, because I know when I was in that place, when I was first getting sober, I struggled a lot, and it was hard for me to kind of accept help, because I couldn't relate to a lot of other people that were public about their sobriety, because I felt like a lot of them weren't like me. You know, I was a young girl and I had this like big personality and I was doing a lot of things, and I felt like there was like this stereotype for an alcoholic or someone that deals with alcoholism that I didn't fit the mold of in my mind. And so I wanted to kind of give people that picture that there's many different people that have issues with alcoholism. It comes in all shapes and forms. And I just wanted to give them, yeah, that really honest account of it, so they saw that there was a struggle. It wasn't easy, but it's also possible to come out of it on the other end and be successful in sobriety.
I love that. And I mean, it has helped so many people so far. How many years ago did you release that?
I released that a year ago this May. I released it on my 2 year. Yeah, it's been a little crazy because I released it on the anniversary of my 2 years of sobriety, and my 3 year anniversary will be this May. And so it's kind of weird sometimes when I think about it that it hasn't even been out for a year, and it's gotten way more of a response than I ever thought it would, because I've never written I had never written anything longer than a college paper. So for me to just like, oh, I'm just going to write a book, like, and it took on this whole like life that I never imagined, and it's gotten so big, and I've had so many people from all over the world reach out to me, and it's kind of surreal at times that it's gone that far and it's reached that many people, but it's been such an incredible, humbling, rewarding experience.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't realize that you released 2 books in 1 year.
I did, and that's insane. I'll tell you up front.
Congratulations. Oh my God, that's such an accomplishment.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a little crazy. It's a lot of work. And there was a few moments where I was like, wow, I'm really getting all into this and kind of putting a lot on my workload. And there was a little bit of overwhelm, but honestly, I'm so proud of them both. I put so much heart and so much work into both of them that I'm extremely proud to have them out.
You should be proud. I mean, they're great books. I am like 3/4 of the way through Inner Bloom, and I'm obsessed. I love it. I like wrote all over the book.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So I just want to talk about Sober as Fuck a little bit more, because I feel like there are really pivotal moments in the book that people can really take away lessons from. So like, what was the
you know, game changer moment when you decided that, like, things needed to change?
Definitely. I write, there's like actually a whole chapter about it. There was a night, I ended up in the emergency room and I was told by a doctor, basically, I shouldn't have walked out alive, which was really scary. And it was sad that it took me getting to that point to make the decision to change and do something about my life. But that was definitely the, game changer for me. And it was super scary. I had never even been in a hospital before. So I literally woke up in the emergency room, hooked up to all these machines. I had no idea how I got there, what was going on, like scared the living shit out of me. Am I allowed to swear?
Yeah, that's okay.
Fine. I was like, oh God. Like scared the living shit out of me. And basically I like coming out of that, like I knew, I was like, this was too big of a screw up. Like I had had screw ups before, but it was like, this wasn't just another mistake. This wasn't just another like wild night out that got sloppy. Like this was like risking my life. Couldn't have walked out of the hospital alive. So I knew at that point, like that was too much. It had to change. So that, and then the other thing that really solidified it for me was afterwards when I went home, but then I like went over to my mom's house because I was just a wreck. And when I was at my mom's house, like seeing my mom and how upset she was and having to like send messages to people apologizing that were, you know, worried about where I was, what was happening to me and being like, hey, I'm so sorry, like to put you in that position and just feeling like an absolute worthless piece of crap, basically, that my selfish, you know, wanting to drink, wanting to get wasted, wanting to party was hurting all these people and endangering my own life. So at that point I knew something had to completely change.
Right, and how young were you when that happened?
I was 26.
Yeah, so you were so young.
I was 26 years old.
And
I was.
It's just like the typical, you know, go out and party and go to, you know, that's kind of like what happens in college. But
it is, yeah.
It's scary.
It is, and I think that's why so many, like, women, especially younger women, don't see it as an issue for a long time, like I didn't. Because it's such a big thing in society. It's like a societal norm now almost, if you think about it, especially like in college, I was in a sorority. That's all we did was like party. Like that's, and it was, there was alcohol everywhere. Everyone was always drinking. So I do think it's hard for a lot of girls because they see it as being the norm and they don't see it as being something dangerous. And sometimes it does take something like that to kind of open their eyes to it just because they're so used to it.
Absolutely. And I think that's really what makes your story so relatable because it really could have just happened to any of us in college who,
right.
You know, went out and partied too much. I was in a sorority too. And like, that's literally what, you know, college focused around. Just like, what
right.
party are we going to Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was a frat house every weekend. There was always like a themed party.
Of course. So looking back now, what are three things that you would tell your 26-year-old self, you know, just what's some advice you would give if you were like your big sister to yourself?
I would definitely tell myself to stop being so concerned with other people. I was definitely always one of those girls that liked to be like the center of attention. I always wanted to be like the wild party girl. And I always was posting like tons of pictures of me partying, and I was so focused on like superficial attention and people liking me for the wrong reasons that I felt like that was a big driving force behind why I partied the way I did, is because I wanted people to like envy my life and think I was always having this fun, perfect, glamorous life. So I would definitely tell myself to stop caring so much about what other people think about me, for sure. Honestly, and I think I would just tell myself that living without alcohol, you can still have fun without alcohol. Like you don't have to have things like that to have a good time, because I always like wanted to pregame everything because I thought it made it more fun. So I would definitely tell myself, like, even at the beginning of my sobriety, I wish I could have told myself, like, you're not going to miss out on things, because I think that was one of my biggest fears, is all the things I was going to be cutting out of my life or missing out on by not drinking or partying with my friends anymore.
I love that. That's such great advice. I can totally relate from a different perspective because, like I was telling you earlier, I'm pregnant, and I'm so excited to be pregnant. I mean, this
oh,
is
absolutely.
Planned and obviously, but, you know, even for like Valentine's Day, we went out to dinner and my husband's like having this, you know, nice glass of wine, and I'm like, You know, yeah. Love a glass of wine. But really, like, I was fine. I survived, you know? Like, I've gone out with my friends to happy hour, and I'm fine. Like, I can go out, have a great time, laugh, enjoy their company, and, like, you don't need to drink.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, and I love that you keep putting out those positive vibes and reinforcing that, because I don't know why people see that as such a barrier, you know?
A lot of people do. I think a lot of people see sobriety. It has like such a negative stigma that people are like, oh, she's sober. Like it's such a like, ooh, like what happened moment. Or like if someone's not drinking, people are automatically like, oh, why aren't you drinking? And it's such a weird situation because like I just went on a trip to Mexico with my boyfriend and a couple of my friends. One of my friends from high school was getting married and she was having a destination wedding at an all-inclusive resort. So obviously there was going to be a ton of alcohol, like everyone's going to be drinking. And, you know, people, whenever I go on trips like that or do things like that, I always have a couple of people that are like, are you going to be all right? And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be in Mexico. It's going to be beautiful. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to have mocktails the whole time. I get virgin margaritas. So I still have, you know, my pretty drink and I can cheers with everyone. And I still had a freaking blast on that trip. I had the best time and, you know, I didn't have one drop of alcohol. And just because other people were having it and I wasn't, didn't mean that I could have any less fun or enjoy my trip any less just because I wasn't drinking too.
Right. And so what is your recommendation for those who are in that situation and they need guidance navigating, you know, going to parties, going to happy hour and, you know, situations where you're, you know, at an all-inclusive resort and people are getting drunk? And my like pet peeve is when people are like obnoxiously drunk and I'm sober and I'm like, oh my God, like this is the worst.
You realize how stupid people look in that moment when they're really drunk and you're sober.
Totally. You're like, oh my God, I'm not drinking ever again because everybody like,
You're like, was that me? honestly, like I just, when I first started out, when I was first sober, I would still go out with my friends. And I will say in the beginning, when I was still adjusting to everything, sometimes I did have an awkward kind of hard time with it. And I think it was because I was so like in between two places. Like I still wanted to be that fun person and go out with my friends and do all this stuff. And I was so used to drinking and I knew that I wanted to be this new person that could have fun without it. So in the beginning, until I think I got really secure with who I was and my decision and why I was doing it, I did struggle with that a little bit. But now, like, I even tell my boyfriend sometimes that, like, I'm more comfortable in a bar or, like a bar with music, like, with friends dancing in more social situations or, like, at a resort than I am, like, at a house party sitting in someone's house, just everybody just drinking. Because you could still have a good time, you can still socialize. But for me, I feel like when I'm in those settings, like I still like to have something to drink in my hand. I feel like it takes the focus off of like that you're not drinking. And so I always do mocktails. I love mocktails. And I think it's still fun. You still have that social aspect of drinking. You can cheers, but you're also not getting drunk. So you're still a part of everything and you're still having a good time. But the only thing that's missing is the alcohol in that cup, which no one's going to realize isn't in there. And like, honestly, I don't even realize it's not in there anymore. I still have just as much fun. But yeah, I always tell people, like, if you're weird in a situation, like if you're going on a date and you're sober and he's not, like get a club soda with lemon or lime or something in it, or get like a virgin margarita, and you can still be in that, like, oh, I'm having fun having a drink with dinner without having alcohol.
That's a really great tip. And actually, I loved reading in your book how you were talking about nowadays you do like elaborate girls nights and you'll, you know, go all out with your mocktail, your decorations, your
sleeves,
and it's so fun.
Yeah. I literally have like a big like drink dispenser and I'll fill it with like margarita mix and ice and limes, and I'll have like salt for the cups and everything. And there's just not tequila in it. And like all my girlfriends still drink them. We still have a great time and everybody just kind of laughs. Like, you literally made a pitcher of virgin margarita. I'm like, yeah, I'm having my mocktails. Like, it's perfect.
Do you have a favorite mocktail?
I love virgin margaritas, honestly. That's like my jam. I do that very, very often. And sometimes I'll even add like frozen fruit into them because they work like ice cubes and they give it flavor. So that is one of my absolute faves. When I was in Mexico, though, I did a lot of just water with ice and lime. I would put lime juice and lime slices in it because it still looked fun and it gave it a little bit of taste. And ever since I've come home, I've convinced the limes in Mexico are way better than the limes here, because I feel like it was so much better there than it is now.
It could have been like the beautiful scenery and the weather.
I mean, it was probably just, yeah, living in the moment, everything was great. But yeah, those are probably, I'm a big lime person, if you can't tell. So like the margaritas, the lime, and the water, I'm all about it.
Yeah, that's a great tip. So I would imagine that kind of sharing your journey on YouTube and then writing your book has been like really therapeutic and healing for you. Not that I want to say how long, but like how was that healing process like? And yeah, I mean, how long did it take you to like finally get to that okay point?
I feel like when I look back, I think at my first year was pretty bad. And I think it was because I was just so confused and lost, and I hadn't gone into any like formal therapy or support groups or anything like that. I was trying to kind of do it on my own, which looking back, I wish I would have gotten help or done something sooner, because I realized what a difference it made afterwards. But so my first year, I think I struggled a lot. And then as I was finishing up my second year, that was when I wrote the book and was starting to share more of my journey on my YouTube videos and everything. And I honestly feel like it was so funny. The day I put the book out, like I had always released like parts of it in my video. Like I would talk about it, but I was always still, I think, a little bit ashamed. And I didn't want to put out the whole story because I was worried people were going to like judge me. And so I feel like honestly, like 2 years, I finally told my mom, like, part of the darkest part of what had happened to me during my drinking, which I touch on in the book a little bit. But when I finally told my mom, like everything that had happened, and, you know, like she knew about everything in the hospital, she knew about all that stuff, but there were things that had happened with men in my life that I hadn't shared, and I kept in a really dark place for a long time. And when I finally told her that, like right before I was launching the book, like I remember just like crying hysterically in my bedroom, and her just being like, it's okay, like it's all over now, it's all over now. And I really felt like when I put that book out, like I had finally closed a chapter, I had finally let everything out, and I wasn't holding on to that like secret almost, or like being ashamed of things. And I felt like I finally like let everything go when I let that book out on 2 years, and it was finally all out for everyone to see. I had like so many mixed emotions about it, I was so nervous, but I feel like after 2 years I finally was stable with it. I was able to tell people about it. Like before, when I would meet people, like when I was single and still dating, like I wouldn't tell people the whole story. Like they'd be like, why aren't you drinking? And I would just say, oh, that's, it's a long story. And I wouldn't want to tell them. And so it got to a point, I noticed like when I put out that book and everything was out, that like I was like on Tinder, Bumble, and all that. And I remember going on a date and someone asked me why I wasn't drinking, and I literally told them on the first date. And I was like, oh my God, I just like put it out that like I was finally okay with it. I had accepted it. I had moved past it and realized that I didn't need to be ashamed of it anymore, because it brought me to this opportunity to write a book, to share it with people, and I shouldn't be hiding it or being ashamed about it any longer.
Totally. And how empowering and inspiring for you to be able to just like stand in your truth and just be your authentic self and not have to like hide that part of your life anymore.
Yeah, it's the greatest feeling. It really is.
You can tell you're just like so full of good vibes and so happy. Yeah. And it's so great to see. So I want to talk about your new book, Inner Bloom.
Yes.
And this came out a little bit over a month ago, if I'm correct?
December.
December, okay.
So yeah, 2 months ago, 2-3 months ago.
So can you give us a little bit of a premise for this book and how it came about?
Yes, I knew as soon as I finished sober that I wanted to write a second book. I remember I was sitting in therapy and I told her, I was like, I missed getting up and writing every morning. Like I missed that being part of my routine. And I realized it was so therapeutic and it was so healthy. And I loved like expressing myself almost like journaling in these books. So I told her, I was like, I think I'm going to write another book. And there was a song called Inner Bloom by Rufus Du Sol. They're from Australia, and I love this song. It's just like so pretty, so mellow. I love the sounds in it. It's just like amazing. And I told her, I was like, I kind of want to name it after this song because I love this song. It's one of those songs that gives me like goosebumps, but I feel like the word inner bloom just describes so much about that journey that people go through, like whether it's sobriety or anything in life, where as you grow and mature and kind of stand in your truth, like you were saying, you bloom from the inside out. Like you kind of find this beauty within you that starts to come out on the surface and everyone can see it and feel it. And it's just like this incredible, beautiful thing. So I really kind of just dove into this book and I decided to kind of write it around what I did from 2 years and beyond, because at that point I felt like I put out that book, I was in such a good place, and my only concern in life really was I wanted to make sure I was truly, authentically had inner happiness, and I wanted to make sure that I was creating this best life for myself that I could. And I kind of looked at it as I got a second chance. Like I had this second opportunity to rewrite my life and change everything. And I had this like blank slate in front of me. And I just decided like, I don't want to miss out on anything in life. I want to take every chance, live every experience, you know, say yes to things, travel, live and feel and see as much as I could. And so Inner Bloom was kind of just like the blueprint of how I did that. I kind of go over the different areas of my life and what I did, and kind of like this journey I went on to just make sure that every day was the best day of my life and make sure that I didn't, you know, waste time on negative feelings and negative people and negative situations. And I just wanted to create this overall like best life for myself.
I love that. It's really one of the better self-help books out there. And I want to say that your books in particular are very interesting because I feel like you always leave room in them to write at the end of the chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Which I love, because when you read books like this and you're pulling away life principles, I love like circling and highlighting and just like things that I want to remember that stick out to me. So I just find that so helpful.
Yeah, I really wanted to do that because I feel like I love self-help books. I love self-help podcasts. And I found like when I was listening to like podcasts and stuff, I'd be writing things in the note portion on my iPhone, like while I was doing it, like things I wanted to remember or like points I wanted to take away. So I wanted to make sure in the book, as I was like putting out all this information about how I changed my life and everything, to give people the opportunity, you know, to kind of like relate it to their own life so they could take away from it and come back to the book and not have to read a whole book to get the same idea again, but just kind of the points that they wanted to remember that they could come back and flip to a page and be like, oh yeah, I wanted to focus on that some more.
Right. And that's so helpful. And I also want to point out that you have a workbook coming out. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Yeah. I am putting out Sober as Fuck, the workbook. It wasn't my initial plan to write it. I was going to write something else. I was just kind of like going with the flow. And I just kept like, it was so crazy because I initially expected like Inner Bloom to do way better than Sober, like as far as like selling and stuff. And Sober as Fuck literally outsells Inner Bloom like times 10 every month. And it blows my mind each time because I'm like, I thought so many more people were going to relate to the self-help book, but I'm still selling Sober like crazy and it's nuts. And so I was like, I feel like I need to like come back to it or do something more with it because I felt like that was like my niche or something. Like people were really connecting to the sobriety thing. And so I was like, okay, I guess I'm just going to go back to it. And I was like, what am I going to do though? I didn't know what avenue to go. And I've always really liked workbooks. And I was like, you know what? I feel like I could build off of that community that I've seen come together and contact me through Sober as Fuck and give them something else to kind of work with. And the other thing that kind of inspired me to do it was, I know you're in the Slay Baby Collective group for Kara Alaleva, and she created the Sober and Semi-Sober Slay Babies group. And when she started it, she like shot me a message and was like, hey, I feel like you'll really be an active person in here. Like, I'm really excited about this. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And so I got super active in the group and I saw like thousands of people joining it. And I was like, holy shit, like I need to do this workbook. Cause I knew there was a lot of people living sober or considering living sober or trying to be more mindful about their drinking, but really seeing that many women in a group that were, you know, asking for advice, asking for help from other women, I was like, oh my God, this would be the perfect resource to put out to people that I felt like people would really get a lot out of and connect with. So I started it immediately. And so I created Sober as Fuck, the workbook. It's a 28-day workbook and journal. Each day has a different topic. And then I did a little bit of writing about it. And then there are inspiring quotes. There's daily mantras to kind of focus on and repeat for the day. There's journaling questions for each day around that topic. And then there's also a journaling space at the end of each day so you can kind of talk about how you're feeling, how you're doing, where you're at on that particular day in the journey. And I just wanted to make it really personal so people really had something to take with them through the first 28 days of being sober if they needed it, because it is really difficult to make that shift, and at least they would have a little bit more support behind them to help them along the way.
And I really love that you pointed out that it's not just people who are, you know, it's not just if you think you have a problem with alcohol. If you are trying to be mindful about what you're drinking and things like that, like, that's applicable for you. Like, I feel like myself, I would love to utilize your workbook and just implement it into my everyday life, especially with, like, the mantras and the room to write about it and your guidance. I mean, who better than to turn to you?
Yeah, I know. And I feel like, the whole people that you don't necessarily have to be sober to do it, because I know for a lot of people, that's not a decision they're like going to make unless they had something like me or they had an issue and they really want to live completely sober. But I've seen a lot of people do, like this year, a lot of people were doing like a dry January and just kind of looking at it where they were tracking how many days they actually drank in January. And I was like, that's really interesting because people are trying to be more mindful and healthy with their drinking, but not necessarily wanting to be 100% sober. So with the workbook, I wanted to make something for those people too, because it would give them a way to kind of look at why they drink, when they drink, how much they drink, and kind of be able to recognize their own patterns or their own habits that they might want to change or alter a little bit.
Totally. I love that. And so where can people pick up that workbook once it's released?
It's going to be on Amazon. I haven't done a Kindle version of it yet. I was kind of going to wait and see how it went just because I feel like a Kindle workbook is kind of silly because you can't really write in it. So for now, it's just going to be on Amazon in a paperback version. And I made it a little bit smaller than, like, I mean, it's like a standard book size. My other books are a little bit bigger in size. So I made it a little bit smaller. So it's something you can like take with you too.
Oh, how creative. I love that idea.
I didn't want it to be like huge.
Right. No. So you can just like throw it in your purse then.
Exactly. Cause a lot of the workbooks I have are larger and I feel like I wouldn't take them places just because they're so big. Like if I was traveling or something. So I wanted to make it something that was easy to take with you as well.
Right. That totally makes sense. So you've had a incredibly busy and successful year between Sober as Fuck and Inner Bloom and keeping up with your YouTube channel and traveling the world doing your makeup work. And now you are launching a podcast, which I believe launched this week, right?
Yes, I'm such an overachiever. I'm like the worst. But yes, I did just start my podcast this past week. It is called Her Best Fucking Life. And I kind of wanted to carry over the ideas from Inner Bloom and kind of tie in a little bit of sober. So it's going to be, I'm really excited about it. I'm just kind of trial and erroring it and figuring it out as I go. But I wanted to have some sobriety, some lifestyle, like a little bit of something for everybody, because I didn't want it to be like just a sober podcast or anything like that. I wanted it to be for everyone. So I'm tying in a little bit of sobriety and I'm doing a little bit of like self-help and motivation. So I'm really excited to see how it goes. I'm loving it so far, though. It's fun.
And how many days a week are you releasing it, and where can we find it?
It is on iTunes and Stitcher. If you look up Her Best Fucking Life or probably Sarah Ordo, I'm assuming it'll come up as well. And I have 3 episodes up so far. I'm thinking I'll probably do something weekly. But as I'm getting into it and realizing, like, I really like it a lot, I have a feeling I might do it more often. So I'm just kind of like checking it out, seeing how it goes. But I've gotten a really good response from it so far. A lot of people have really been liking it, and I'm seeing it that it's a more personal, direct way to reach people a lot more frequently than like writing a book or something like that. It's a great way for me to connect with more people on a regular basis, which I've really been enjoying.
That's so exciting.
I'm so excited about it.
So for anybody who is struggling with sobriety or just living their best fucking life, do you have any podcasts or book recommendations for them?
I love Style Your Mind podcast with Kara Alwaleva. That's like my favorite. And I really like listening to the Him and Her podcast with Lauren Everts and Michael Bostick from The Skinny Confidential, because I feel like that one, like, it has self-help, it has guidance in there and stuff, but it also has a lot of, like, fun episodes as well, so it keeps it light and keeps it exciting. So I love those two, and I, let's see, books. I have so many books, oh my gosh. I just got the new Gary Vee book, Crushing It.
Oh, I've been wanting to buy that.
It's so good. It is so good. Like, there's so many people. Lauren Everts is actually in it, and I saw her post about it, and that was when I got it. But that one is amazing. And then I also just got Tim Ferriss, the Tribe of Mentors. That one is really, really good. It's got, like, golden, like, quotes and info in it from, like, a ton of different people. So I really like those two. Let's see. I really like The 5-Second Rule from Mel Robbins.
Oh, I haven't read that one either.
Oh, I like it a lot. It's really good. It basically goes on the premise that, like, if you wait 5 seconds, you'll start doubting yourself or thinking of excuses not to do something. So it's basically like you think of something and you have 5 seconds to say, yes, I'm going to do it before you have a chance to second think or second guess it. So I love that one. I love Girl Code from Kara, obviously. We all do. But that one's got a lot of good female inspo, especially for entrepreneurs. And I just, what was the other one I just did? Oh, Big Magic. Elizabeth Gilbert.
Yes, I love that book.
Yeah, that one's awesome too.
Yeah, I'll definitely link to all of those books in the show notes for everybody.
Yay.
So I have one more question for you. Can't end an interview without asking you.
Okay.
What is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
Oh my God, I can't drink kombucha.
Oh no.
I know, I'm like, oh no. I have acid reflux, and when I drink things that are carbonated, it makes it, like, flare up really bad. So anything carbonated or, like, bubbles, like, I can't drink champagne. I could never drink beer. I can't drink kombucha. So
that's a bummer. That's right. You have, like, your amazing fabulous mocktails, so.
Right. I'll stick to my mocktails.
So where can everybody find you? Your podcast, your books, your YouTube video, your Instagram?
I have everything under my name. I feel like that's probably the easiest way if you just look up Sarah Ordo. I'm Sarah Ordo on YouTube. If you look up Sarah Ordo on Instagram, my handle is actually 24lux_Sarah because that's my business name for the hair and makeup company is 24lux. All of my books are on Amazon and Kindle and barnesandnoble.com. The podcast is on iTunes and Stitcher if you look up Her Best Fucking Life. And I think that's it. I think that's everything, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I have a website. I should probably say I have a website. My website is sarahordo.com. So if anyone wants to find me, it's all there as well.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. You're such an inspiration.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a good time.